We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
I heard you missed us. We're back.
This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
It is 8:33. I'm Debbie Monterey. Welcoming to the studio, Charlie Brennan of The Charlie Brennan Show.
Good morning, Debbie.
And Brad Young with Harris Dowell Fisher and Young.
Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, both of you. Well, yesterday, Don Garber was in town again. He, of course, is the commissioner of Major League Soccer. And regional business leaders were all lined up, hoping to impress him. Soccer analyst Bill McDermott described it as the largest gathering of high-level executives ever to greet him. And Garber called the show of support for a local franchise here fantastic and remarkable. Now, it appears St. Louis and Sacramento are currently the leading cities for the next MLS expansion team in 2022. Charlie, any concerns that the commissioner is just playing one city against the other? Because I got to say, when it comes to sports enthusiasm, Sacramento doesn't get mentioned that often.
Well, you know, they have a phenomenal mayor who I think his name is Daryl Steinberg. He's probably the most active mayor in the country, and he is not only pursuing MLS, he's got a new Centene headquarters he just opened with hundreds of jobs, and he's tackling homelessness. He's going to have beds for like 2,000 homeless individuals. And what he's done is he's gone out there and got a lot of private money. The guy is a dynamo, the likes of which we don't have. Let's talk about what's going on. Garber himself said in today's paper, maybe also to Bill McDermott, that it works for the MLS to have all these people competing. They are he is pitting one city against another. And then when he came here, he said, hey, but you know, after we assembled all these great business leaders and we got the world's largest rental car company behind it, Enterprise, he then says, where are the sponsorships for the stadium naming rights? How about for the jerseys? Now, that's a legitimate question, I suppose, but did he have that question 2 months ago, or is he kind of like changing the goalposts on us, which is what the NFL did? Remember, the NFL came down, oh, you guys are great, but now you got to do this. Oh, what, we've never seen so much enthusiasm, St. Louis, the NFL told us, but now you've got to do this. I guarantee you, if we needed to have stadium naming rights and jersey advertising done, Enterprise would have done that 2 months ago or whenever it was necessary. These guys weren't born last night. In fact, nobody's sharper than the Taylor family. I'll throw Jim Cavanaugh, Worldwide Technologies, in there too. They're not going to miss crossing any T's and dotting any I's. So when the commissioner comes here and says, you failed to do this, I think that it's probably something new that he's brought up and probably surprised members of the delegation here.
I'm shocked, Charlie, that you would think that Major League Soccer is playing one city off against another. I mean, that's shocking. I mean, obviously, the NFL would never do that. I'm sorry. I've just completely destroyed my own argument. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on here. And in this, we are seeing, I think, the insides of how the negotiation process works. They get us in, you know, you're in ankle deep, you're in knee deep, and now we're up to the waist, and now we're heading for the neck. So there will be continually additional negotiation points added to this process. Pretty soon they're going to have, you know, what's the airspace over the soccer stadium naming rights. I mean, that will be the final crux of the negotiation between us and San Francisco. It's clearly negotiation.
Yeah, and if the naming rights above
they're
the stadium
Sacramento.
Is, if that's required, fine. But I just get the suspicion, I'm just suspicious that things are changing at the last minute. Because you know the Andy Taylors and the Kavanaughs of the world would have this completed. They want this that much. They're not missing any beats here.
Or maybe Don Garber was in Sacramento and they were like, we got naming rights, we got jerseys. And then he comes here and he's like, what about your jerseys and your naming rights? Oh, man. Well, we're supposed to find out next month. So maybe this will all be over and we'll know one way or the other.
And you know, the Taylors have kind of played the... they've kind of done the same thing. They've said, we're not going to be here next year. If we don't get it now, we're not going to be here next year. So they've also said to Major League Soccer, do it now or don't expect to do it here in St. Louis.
All right. This is a really sad and scary story, of course, the continuing coverage of the crash of an Ethiopian Airlines plane operated. It was a Boeing 737 MAX 8. More countries now and airlines are announcing that they're grounding that model of plane. China, Indonesia, Australia, several other airlines worldwide are grounding them. The two U.S. airlines that operate the plane are Southwest and American. Both have said they will not ground the planes. Boeing says it's fine, the planes are safe, and they're going to push a software update by next month. Brad Young, any concerns that domestic airlines aren't grounding these planes?
I don't have concerns that they're not grounding the planes today, because at least from this morning's reports that I've been reading, it appears that it affects what's called the trim of the aircraft, which is how it's the angle of the aircraft when it's taking off or landing. And that's something that at least Boeing thinks can be fixed with a software patch update. The bigger concern is that we are at the tip of the iceberg. If there's another crash of an aircraft in the next 6 to 12 months, then you will see a mass grounding of these aircraft. And keep in mind, this is Boeing's money shot. I mean, they've got thousands of orders of these 737 MAX 8s aircrafts that are pending. And if the market loses confidence in this aircraft, you're going to see the Boeing stock dive faster than the Ethiopian airplane. And the problem with that is that the Dow component is so built around Boeing right now. If the Dow stock, or if the Boeing stock drops, you're going to see the stock market suffer.
I don't know so much about that, but Boeing right now has what, one plane that, or two? How many planes went down?
There've been two in the last 6 months.
Indonesia, two in the last six months.
By and large, compared to just about every other human activity, it's probably a very safe way to travel, by and large. I mean, certainly compared to driving, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have that much concern about it. I'm going to be on, I guess, Southwest Airlines twice next week, four different flights, and I'm not too worried about it at all.
All right. Well, we'll talk about free speech and more when we return. We'll also check in with traffic and weather together. Stay with us here on Overtime. KMOX News Time is now 8:40.
Joey Vitale here, and the St. Louis Blues are returning home to face St. Louis native Clayton Keller and the Arizona Coyotes in a Tuesday night battle. Pre-game show at 6:30 and the face-offs at 7 right here on your home for Blues hockey, KMOX.
Let's go Blues!
It's 8:43. I'm Debbie Monterey. Charlie Brennan and Brad Young here on the Tuesday Overtime, and let's talk about robocalls. Oh, everybody hates robocalls. Charter Communications and Facebook are set to argue a federal robocall law violates the First Amendment's free speech guarantee. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit will hear oral arguments in separate cases challenging the Telephone Consumer Protection Act, which restricts the use of auto dialers to make telemarketing calls. Brad, should robocalls be considered free speech, especially if it's not actually someone speaking, it's just a robot?
Absolutely. No, here's the problem. Here's the issue here, really. It's a little more complicated than just a yes or no question, because Charter and Facebook are correct in this respect. Restricting free speech for robocalls, if those robocalls involve political ads, then yes, there can be prior restraint. The Supreme Court has set up tiers of analysis for the types of speech that are involved. So if you're talking about political speech, then yeah, it may be prior restraint and it might violate free speech laws. However, we all know the vast majority of robocalls are people calling you to check about the status of your health insurance and whether you want to refinance your loans. And those are commercial speech. And commercial speech has a much lower level of scrutiny. In other words, it's more easily regulated. So you're going to see Charter and Facebook argue that you cannot regulate robocalls because it's political speech. But really what should happen here is a bifurcation of political speech from commercial speech. Commercial speech can be regulated. Political speech, probably not.
I would disagree, because if you're talking about regulating political speech in the town square when some guy stands on a soapbox, absolutely not. You cannot regulate that. But once that person starts to call me on my device, which I pay for, I don't think that person has a right to free political speech. calling me on the cell phone. What am I spending? $192 for four of these a month, something like that. I got a landline still. I guess I'm the last one. I don't know what we're paying for that one. Beth pays that bill. But I don't think anyone has a politically a right to call me, use my device, and take up my time on my dime.
And why are political calls okay, Brad? Is it simply because when lawmakers pass these laws, they say, oh, we can call you, but no one else can? Or is it really a free speech issue in the courts?
Well, the answer to both of that is not a yes or no. It's yes. I mean, it's not a it's not either or. It's yes. They're going to couch it in terms of we have a 250-year history of free political speech, and so we have to uphold those principles. But the reality is, the lawmakers want to make sure they can continue to make those calls. But the reality is that there is that higher level of scrutiny for political speech, and I would be shocked if any courts would prohibit all of these calls if they do involve political speech.
Well, in a related note, Facebook has removed several ads placed by Senator Elizabeth Warren's presidential campaign. And in these ads, she was calling for the breakup of Facebook, which is kind of funny. I'm advertising on Facebook to break up Facebook and other tech giants. The social network later reversed course, though. Politico reported on this takedown, and the company says that it wants to allow for robust debate. So they initially pulled them, and then they let them go back up. So, Charlie, do you think Facebook should have the right to take down ads that go after them or ads that they don't like?
Abso-friggin-lutely. Yeah, sure. Just like we don't have to accept all ads. And if you are running a private operation, I don't see why you have to take anyone's ads, really. In today's day and age, when there's so many places where you can advertise.
Well, and that's the crux of it. The Supreme Court, Charlie, has set up, just like I said before with the robocalls, there are also different levels of public forums. There's what's called a public forum, which you can have no restrictions, limited public forums, and then non-public forums. And clearly, Facebook is a non-public forum, meaning that they can do whatever they want. However, I think the argument can be made that because Facebook is so prevalent, that it becomes a public forum, which means that you cannot restrict free speech on the forum, even though it's privately owned. I think that's an argument that we're moving towards. I don't think we're there yet. But if Facebook becomes more and more prevalent in terms of a forum for speech, there can be an argument made for stating that you cannot restrict speech if it becomes a public forum.
KMOX News Time is 8:48. More topics to go here as we hit round three of OT.
Overtime continues.
If you'd like to celebrate, I'd be okay with that.
On KMOX.
Love it!
8:52, Debbie Monterey, along with Brad Young and Charlie Brennan. Let's talk about women's soccer. Players for the U.S. women's national team have filed a federal gender discrimination lawsuit seeking pay equal to that of their male counterparts. The action comes just 3 months before the team will defend its title at the Women's World Cup. Now, the class action lawsuit was filed last week under the Equal Pay Act and alleges gender-based discrimination by the U.S. Soccer Federation. Brad, do you think these women have a case?
It's going to be difficult, Debbie, for several reasons. First of all, both the men and the women's soccer team are under collective bargaining agreements. So those collective bargaining agreements are going to lay out the terms of their compensation, and they're going to be compensated completely differently. So it's kind of like if you read Consumer Reports and you get a review of a washing machine and then you go to the store and that model is never available, it's intentionally done to make sure that you cannot have an apples-to-apples comparison. Also, briefly, for example, in the World Cup finals, the pool for bonuses for men is $400 million because of advertising. For women, it's $30 million because of the lack of advertising. So it's going to be a challenge. Where I do think they could be successful is the non-compensation things, like, for example, access to fields or changing rooms or training facilities. Those things, there are differences between the men and women, and I think that can clearly be addressed.
Yeah. First of all, we all support the women, and they actually had more viewers, I believe, in their World Cup final than the guys. However, what they run up against is the advertising revenue, and also the tickets don't cost as much. And it's all a monetary thing. At the end of the day, it's quite possible they're going to become more popular. They're going to charge more for tickets. They're going to have higher television ratings. But until such time that they and their league do that, I don't see how they can make the case that they should have the equal money. And man, I totally respect those women who are playing. Lori Klupny, Olympic gold medalist and a World Cup winner in our own backyard here in St. Louis, and she's done a phenomenal job. And even though the guys aren't as good, I mean, on a national, an international stage, they still internationally might be making more money.
Yeah, the women have certainly had more success.
Yes.
Defending a World Cup title as opposed to not even making it to the World Cup. The Democratic National Convention, Charlie, is heading to Milwaukee, which is an interesting choice for 2020. The DNC announcing that next year's convention will be held at the newly built Fiserv Forum, home of the Milwaukee Bucks. It's the first time ever that the convention will be held in Milwaukee and the first time in more than a century that the convention will be held in a Midwestern city other than Chicago. Any thoughts on why the DNC chose Milwaukee?
Well, it's a state that's up for play, and it would be nice to have it here in St. Louis, but I don't think we're a purple state. We're not a blue state. We're pretty much a red state, and I don't think that the Democrats think that they could get any votes that, that would be worth their while here. I don't know if the state that hosts a convention always votes for the candidate of that party. But nonetheless, I'm sure that's why we were not in it.
Yeah, it's not that the convention is held in a state where they're absolutely going to win, but it's held in a state where the party wants to win. And clearly, Wisconsin's a swing state. They would never have the convention here because Missouri is far too red. But they would have it in Wisconsin. That's clearly the intent here, is to try to swing Wisconsin.
Milwaukee's actually a great town, too. I'm happy for them that they're going to get a little injection of attention. A lot like St. Louis in many ways, I think, with breweries. I don't know. There's just a lot of similarities. German Midwestern towns. Charlie, we've got 15 seconds. What's coming up after the news?
Hey, among other things, we're going to find out if a local landscaper was actually able to find any hires after he's been on this program, what, three times already? Plus, this morning, what's going on with the daily newspaper? Looks like they're dying.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.